You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. For many people in the Treasure Valley and beyond, fall means the blue turf and Boise State Bronco football. So how is the team doing so far this year? The Broncos are ranked 20th nationally and are 3-0 in non-conference play. But beyond the stats, what are the emerging storylines beginning to form, both on and off the field? Joining us to talk more about Bronco football is Dave Southern. He is a reporter with The Athletic. You might know Dave from his previous work covering the Broncos for the Idaho Statesman. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
I definitely appreciate it. It's been, I don't think I've ever been on here before, so I appreciate you having me on, Gemma.
Well, just wait. We'll keep bringing you back now that you brought it up. Okay, so let's talk about the new quarterback, because this seems to be a big storyline here. Hank Bachmeier, he's a 20-year-old from California. Even though he's 20, he's actually a true freshman. So you wrote a piece for The Athletic, and you wrote that the choice to put him in this role is historic. So talk to me about why that is.
So usually, especially at that position, historically, someone who is their first year on campus out of high school, they need that redshirt year. Even Kellen Moore, the greatest quarterback who's ever played here, one of the best college football history, he used a redshirt year before he ever got the starting job. So Hank came in January. He graduated high school early and got the job since day one. And that's never happened before at Boise State, ever. And since they moved to their current level, so the FBS, in 1996, the only true freshman quarterback to play other than him was Brett Rypien in 2015. And he started as the season went on, not from day one. Mm. And Hank Bachmeier goes his very first start. He plays at Florida State, one of the best programs in college football history. And he goes and wins and throws for 400 yards. So that's absolutely kind of like the biggest story with this team. And, you know, speaks to his maturity. I mean, his age probably has a little bit of a factor there. But also, that's just the way he is. He's always been regarded by the guys on that team. It seems like he's been there 2 to 3 years, even though, as we sit right now, he's only been around for 8 months.
And he basically, I'm assuming, had to try out for the position, right? I mean, that's what
happened. Yeah, they had a really big competition. It was maybe the most interesting competition at quarterback I've covered. And I've been been around the team since 2007. With him being so young and that being such a historic thing, that his backup is Chase Cord, who tore his ACL last year in October, who was the backup quarterback last year. So usually the math is he seems the most likely, but he came in and he was still recovering from that injury, and Hank Bachmeier was so good that they decided to start him, and the backup last year is the backup again this year.
So is this a trend we're seeing among college football programs nationally, though, to have more true freshmen come into these quarterback positions?
Yeah. I think this year there were 5 in the country that started day one, which is actually a little more than usual. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a couple even in the week since, you know, at some schools that had guys that maybe were older or just not effective that they put in true freshmen. You look last year, at Clemson, they used Trevor Lawrence, who was a true freshman, their national championship team. They won the national championship with one.
With a true freshman
last year. And so, you look at that, and I think these guys are coming in so ready because these quarterbacks are kind of built almost since they were like 5 years old, just prepared for this. They go to quarterback camps. They have their own specialized coaches beyond their own high school coaches. Some only play football. Others, you know, at least dabble in other sports. But, they're just built to be prepared this way. You know, high school offenses look like college offenses now. So when they get to college, it's not as big of a shock. And it's definitely becoming more and more commonplace. You'll see that they want those guys in right away and get them starting for 3 years. Or, you know, sometimes if those guys don't get a starting job, they'll go and transfer elsewhere. So it's really just like they like the youth aspect in college football.
So you bring up an interesting point, I think, about this idea of, you know, these kids. I mean, they're kids.
Yeah.
You know, really being almost trained, as you said, by the time they're 5, 6 years old. Is that a shift within our culture, do you think?
Sure. No, I absolutely think so. That is, and that's actually, to be honest, if you talk to most coaches, they don't like that. You know, college football coaches, even though that's their job, they don't like that because I think sometimes there's maybe a possible burnout factor. And there's also the fact that, you know, a lot of times if these guys can play other sports, there's a cross-training aspect that will help them. You know, Hank played a little bit of baseball growing up, actually quite a bit of it. You know, when he throws the ball, there's accuracy, there's speed to it. He was a pitcher in baseball. And, you know, sometimes these guys can develop hand-eye coordination in other ways. You know, big offensive linemen, they like them when they play basketball because their footwork is really good. And so, like, I don't think that that's necessarily a healthy thing that these coaches really like. Sometimes those guys that are only football and they're really good, so be it. But I think a lot of times they like to see guys who have at least done something else.
So let's talk about Bachmeier's game. What do you think kind of stands out about it? Like, you, I mean, the one that you said is the speed.
The way he throws the ball. If you're ever down in a practice and you took off the numbers of the guys and you just see who throws the ball that most looks like how you envision a football being thrown, his is the most ideal. It just looks right. It's got zip to it. He's very accurate. And I think that really helps because especially at Boise State, that's what you want. You want accuracy. You don't necessarily need a guy who's going to throw it 80 yards every time. You just want the guy who's going to throw it to the right spot.
Right.
And so he's really good at that. And he also, he's a very smart kid. So he's been able to pick up the offense. He can process things quickly. And frankly, he's tough. We've seen it. For a guy who's a true freshman, he's been hit a lot this year.
Okay, yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, ESPN, the stat is not exact science when they measure quarterback hits, but, you know, you get sacked, that's one thing. But, like, you get rid of the ball and then you get hit, that counts to some people. And according to them, he's been hit more than any other quarterback in the country.
Holy cow.
And so as a guy who's new, you don't want that at all. And so that's definitely a concern. Brian Harsin is, you know, the head coach of Boise State, talked a lot about that's still a concern. Yeah. It's very much a concern because you don't want him getting hurt. You don't want him getting rattled, like, you know, assuming, oh, no, someone's going to come and hit me every time. And so, that's a big aspect right now for Boise State. They need to fix that because you don't want to damage this kid's confidence. You don't want to damage him physically, frankly. So I think that stood out to me about him is that he's been able to stand in and take some of those shots and still been able to be pretty productive.
We're talking with Dave Sather, and he covers the Boise State Broncos for the website The Athletic, talking about this year's season. So turning from players to coaching, let's talk about head coach Brian Harsin because he's been in that role since 2013. What strategies are you seeing him take on this year? And like you said, I mean, you've been covering this team since 07.
Right. Yeah, I think what's been interesting with Harsin's growth has been trying to, give the some of the coaching that he used to try to control everything on his own, you know, kind of be the mastermind of it all and have his hand in the pot and a lot of stuff. I think he's kind of been more of a CEO role, letting his coaches do the coaching. So I think with that, I think it's been better for his staff, better for him. It's been less stressful. It's been something that he's not putting as much on his own plate. You can see it right now. They're special teams with the kickers, the returners. He has a coordinator, but he used to have one guy kind of run it. Now every single coach, whether you're the offensive line or defensive line, has some sort of aspect that they coach in special teams. And I think that's been a different, change with Harsin is that he wants to just spread it out and let those guys kind of, have more responsibility.
So let's take it from the team to the fans. Ticket sales. I mean, you used to not be able to get a ticket to these games.
Right.
That's not the case.
Yeah, it's not the case. It's kind of funny. It's, the team's popular as ever. I mean, obviously, me moving into my new job kind of says that there's still a very large appeal to this team. But when you look at the stadium, it doesn't necessarily reflect that. It seats 36,387 is the capacity. And last week against Portland State, they had 31,000. They were loud, don't get me wrong, but there's 31,000. And so there's a lot of aspects that go into that. It's a complex issue, to be honest, but cost. They have a lot of late kickoff times, so families can't really go.
Oh, yeah, I can't take my kids to an 8 p.m. game. Are you kidding?
Exactly, you can't.
I mean,
can't.
There's no way.
Right. And then a couple years ago they had a home game, but it was like Labor Day weekend, and it kicked off at like 1:30, and so a lot of people didn't go because they were like camping or whatever.
Right.
There's always something, and this is the way I've tried to explain it to people. You're not shaming the fans for not going. Because there's, for every reason that they can't go, there's a reason that they could go. You know what I mean? It goes a lot of ways.
Well, how does it play, too, if, because more of their games also get televised?
And
let me tell you, it's a lot more comfortable to sit on my couch.
Yes. I think the two biggest factors, the ones that no one can really argue, are that when they were a top 10 team, like you were saying, that was when it was a hard, great ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the standard. If you're a top 20 team, it's still not quite the same. And then there's that fact that you said. At home, you've got bigger TVs. You got HD. It's presented really
nicely. I can pause it.
You can pause it. Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, you can pause it. You don't have to fight. Well, you might have to fight the kids to use the bathroom.
Right,
You know what I mean? You don't have to use it, fight anybody to, kind of get to concessions, anything like that. And that I think, is the number one thing. And TV drives so much revenue for an athletic department as it is that they love the TV thing. But also at the same time, they want you to come to the stadium. You know what I mean? When I talk about, there's always an answer to everything.
So you don't want those. You don't want it so empty, but at the same time,
yeah.
I mean, there is huge financial benefit
yes.
for being televised.
Correct. Yes, there is. And actually, right now, the conference is in the midst of renegotiating their television contract, which will be new next year.
Mm.
So right now, Boise State gets $2.9 million a year. Every other school in the conference gets 1.1. So Boise State makes a lot more money than other schools from that TV deal. So again, mm-hmm. it's a really unique balance that, you know, they really benefit from being on TV, but also they want more people to be in the stadium. And ticket revenue is very important for Boise State just because it's not the biggest athletic program. But at the same time, they made their bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that they wanted to be on TV, and that and
they got it.
Benefited them. It certainly has, but also, you know, to the cost a little bit of the fan experience at the game.
So let's talk about quickly maybe what you think the major story potentially could be coming out of this team this year. We talked about, you know, Hank Bachmeier. Mm-hmm. I mean, his pretty phenomenal game at Florida State.
Yes.
Are those the stories, or could there be more?
I think that Florida State game was going to really be a harbinger of this, what was to come this season. They lose that game. You know, there's certain goals that I think aren't achievable. They did it, obviously. And so now I think they should be considered the favorite to win their conference, and they have the potential right now where it sets up with the schedule. If you look, not a lot of tough road games. They get most of their tough games at home. They could have that sort of Fiesta Bowl type season. You know, they've been to three of them, and this year it would be the Cotton Bowl. It wouldn't be the Fiesta this year if they got one of those big bowl games. The problem is the other team in a similar situation is UCF, Central Florida, and they are very, very, very good. And they might go undefeated. And if Boise State also goes undefeated, they're still going to be behind UCF.
Gotcha.
Which would be tough to mm-hmm. for them to take. But I think that it sets up pretty well for Boise State to have another, you know, really, really good season. I mean, I'm hard-pressed to think of them to find two games in that schedule they might lose.
And before I let you go, you are very well known around the Treasure Valley for covering Boise State football because of your position at the Statesman. But tell us about the transition that you've recently made.
Yeah.
Because you're working for The Athletic now.
Yep. Yeah. So The Athletic's been around for 3 years now, and we have more than 600,000 subscribers. You know, it's a digital subscription based website. We started from the way that they started from day one was you're going to pay a little bit. You know, at the most for anybody, it's $5 a month, and there's no ads, no videos, anything like that. And it's a national website, and so they cover every single pro team. They cover every single English Premier League soccer team. And when they came to me this summer and they said they wanted to expand college football and they wanted to do Boise State. And so then now there's 32 schools that we cover, and Boise State's only the second in the group of five conferences. And so it kind of says a lot about, yeah. you know, what the respect that they get nationally. And also, you know, when they approached me, I was very excited for mm-hmm. the chance to kind of work for a site like this.
When they won their first Fiesta Bowl, could you project where they would be today?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, just because there was so much. That was Chris Peterson's first season.
Right.
You know? And so, and that was actually the first road game I ever covered for Boise State. And so it was like the fact that they could do that, you could kind of see that they would carry that momentum. And if you look at the recruiting class that they signed that year, the guys that were in that class were like Kellen Moore,
mm-hmm.
Shea McClellan, who's a first-round pick, Doug Martin, who's a first-round pick. They took the momentum from that game and really carried it on. And so so you could tell that, like, if they could do something like that, that there was – it was sustainable a little bit. Yeah. And I wasn't too stunned that they were able to make another one, and they made two more after that. So I think that maybe that exceeded expectations a little bit. But they've always been so good around here mm-hmm. for – you know, since the end of World War II. You know, I think they've had five losing seasons.
Isn't that crazy to think about? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to thank you so much for coming in today. And we've been talking with sports reporter Dave Southern of The Athletic. Up next, we take you to a game of murder ball. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.